if you could tell me a little bit just about daily life for you in Montgomery as a college student. Were you relying on the bus to get around town then?
Yes, I was. But let me share this with you, too. When I came to Montgomery, I sat in the wrong part of the bus. I sat in the front. And the blacks who were sitting in the back, or they were called colored people then, and they made a lot of noise. They were trying to get my attention because I was sitting in the wrong part of the bus. So the bus driver turned around, and he saw me sitting there. He says, what are you sitting here for? Can't you read? I said, yes, I can read. He said, you're supposed to sit behind the sign. One sign pointed to the front, said whites, and the other said colored. And I said, I paid you my fare, and your job is to drive the bus, and I'm not going to move. And so as he was going down the hill, he saw a squad car on the corner right past the Texaco gas station, not far from the hospital. And he said, I'll take care of you. So as he was getting off the bus to hail the police officer, someone went through the red light. And so the squad car took off after the person who had gone through the red light. So he got back on the bus and he proceeded downtown. And so when I got off the bus, these people who were on the bus put me over to the side. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Chicago. He said, you don't act like that down here. You know, it says white to the front and colored to the rear. You have to obey. Well, next time I got on the bus, I went straight to the back. They frightened me tremendously.
Looking back on that bus boycott, I was just wondering about your day-to-day experience. How were you getting around during the bus boycott without using the bus?
Well, what happened was that the people were so upset about what had happened to Rosa Parks that they, as a part of the effort to desegregate the Montgomery Transit System, they offered their cars. And they said, if you want to go to the west side, there'll be cars available at this particular corner, and they'll take you there, and they'll bring you back. And so this was a major effort on behalf of the people of Montgomery to make sure that no African-Americans would ever have to experience or endure what Rosa Parks did. So it was by way of personal cars taking us to and from.
You attended a church where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the ministers, and he led the boycott. What was your personal impression of him?
I admired and had the greatest amount of respect for him because he was a gentleman in every way. He spoke with a calm leadership tone. If he'd say to you, I want you to jump off the John Hancock Center, you may not jump off the John Hancock Center, but he was the kind of a person who would inspire you to want to go up there anyway because he asked you to do it.
The bus boycott ended after, I guess, about a year and 20 days. What were things like after that? Were you able to use the bus freely in reality? Was there any sort of a backlash?
There was some backlash. Some of the people, white people, didn't want to use the bus. But eventually they came around. And sure, there were some terrible looks at you when you got on the bus with them. And it was not a wholesome experience based on what I had experienced here in Chicago.
With 60 years having passed, when you look at race relations in the U.S. today, there's an African-American in the White House, there's an African-American making a strong showing among the Republican presidential candidates, and at the same time, there's controversy over police shootings, the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, the reaction in Chicago to the Laquan McDonald shooting. What do you think of the state of race relations now in this country?
I think that they're a lot better than they used to be. However, there's still room for improvement. But when it comes to Black Lives Matter, the way I look at it, sir, every life is important to me.